You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
I think Paul Pierce would have been better off faking an injury than doing whatever it is that he did on Sunday. David, it doesn't look like he's ever played basketball in his life.
The line of the night from Sirat Sohi of Yahoo Sports, it looks like he was born to be a retired NBA player, perfectly sums it up.
Welcome to Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, host of Locked On Warriors, here with David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat. We'll talk about some of the Rudy Gobert trade ideas and some news about how the NBA may try to restart. But one thing I really don't want to talk about is that horse competition that ESPN aired over the weekend. I didn't bother to watch the whole thing live. I did see the highlights, and of those, if those were the highlights, then I feel bad for anyone who actually watched it, David.
Extend your pity towards me, Wes, because I actually sat through a lot of it, let's say. I don't know if I sat through the whole thing. I did not watch the final competition, the quote-unquote upset over Chris Paul, but I did watch most of it. And you know what? I didn't think it was that bad. I don't know if it's just a case of severe desperation for any kind of new sports-related content. But it was interesting for me to kind of see the interaction with everybody, the muted kind of trash talking between the contestants and things of that sort. The actual shooting itself was horrific. Like, aside from Mike Conley having the mega home court advantage that he had by having a built-in indoor court.
He lives in a high school, it looks like. It looks like he lives in a high school gym.
Yes, except that there was a mural of himself that's bigger than, like, most of my house. So, I mean, that's... that was ridiculous. Like the 25 by 45 foot mural of himself in a crossover dribble hanging over the rim. That's ridiculous. Like it's really impressive to see that, you know, that some players actually do have that kind of home court advantage. But
I think ESPN actually stumbled onto a better idea, which was just NBA Cribs edition.
Oh yes,
just about their courts. Like that would have been great. Like instead of Mike Conley, like. Because the problem with the horse competition, what ended up, and look, we called it, everybody called it, who had any kind of, if you just tried to imagine what was going to happen, it was, there was a couple of interesting shots here and there, but really the thing was won and lost on, okay, can you bank shot this free throw in, right? That's what literally got Chris Paul out, knocked out, was he couldn't bank in a free throw. It's like, okay, I don't really care about watching him banking it in versus not banking it in. But what was interesting was, again, watching Mike Conley have a giant high school dedicated to himself, like the high school type gymnasium. I thought that Paul Pierce's court was actually really interesting. He has a Boston Celtics logo and he lives in Los Angeles.
Right.
And so you could, I would imagine if you were flying over Paul Pierce's house, you would just see this giant Celtics logo in the middle of LA. But I do want to trash on Paul Pierce a little bit more because very few things bring me as much pleasure as making fun of Paul Pierce. It doesn't look like when I said it doesn't look like he's ever played basketball in his life, it doesn't look like he's ever played basketball in his life. I didn't expect much from Paul Pierce, but I expected more than that. I mean, he gave up. He was mid-jump, and he just gave up mid-jump. I've never seen anybody just give up in the middle of a jump, but he did it. He just, like, slapped the backboard and just, like, decided, I'm not going to try what Zach LaVine just tried. I'm an old man. I can't do anything with my body anymore.
It was very unimpressive. It was just, like, he's 6'7". He still has all these kind of physical tools that help carry him to a long NBA career. He's not that old. I can't understand why he just fell apart so completely there. I mean, obviously he's put on a little bit of weight and whatnot, but still it's like he does show like a complete ignorance of anything basketball related. Like he took one shot that looked like it was okay, kind of reminiscent of that stroke during his playing days. But other than that, anything that involved any kind of motion whatsoever, just out the door. No dribbling, no anything that involved any kind of athleticism. Ridiculous. It was just...
I don't want to hear that he's old, right? Like, oh, you're clowning on the old guy. Chauncey Billups looked great.
Yeah, okay? He was fine.
He looked phenomenal, all right? I think I could beat Paul Pierce right now. I'm not
in
saying
horse.
That to,
in
think,
horse.
No, I think I could beat him in a one-on-one basketball game full court. If we have to run up and down the court, I think I would win just by sheer wind. Like I would just outlast him in a very meaningful way and just beat him to 11.
That's pushing it maybe just a tad, but I could see why you'd probably tire him out. After like the first couple of points or the first couple of trips down court, he might not have any energy left to actually do anything offensively. Like whatever advantage he has in size, you totally make up for in endurance, because that's not saying much. Like, I mean, it looks like he should have been sitting down in a chair for 90% of the horse competition.
A wheelchair, maybe.
Well, he has experience for that already.
Let's talk about some of this Rudy Gobert stuff, because last week The Athletic reported that there was a rift between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert caused by Gobert's cavalier attitude toward the coronavirus. And because of that, that rift is now beyond repair, and Gobert has since downplayed the conflict. But I wanted to just take some time here to discuss some of the trades the Jazz could make. But I suppose we should probably start with, if you're Utah, no-brainer you pick Donovan Mitchell over Rudy Gobert, despite the fact that I think everybody would admit that Gobert right now is the better player, but that Donovan Mitchell is better to build around.
That's fair. I think, you know, you could probably make a case that Mitchell is more intrinsic to their offense and the flow of their offensive scheme, but that without Gobert there, their defense would probably be exposed a lot more than it has been. Like, he makes up for a lot of problems on the defensive ends, including Mitchell. So I would say that, yeah, you could probably make a case that Gobert is currently the better of the two, although that's probably closer than a lot of people care to admit, and Mitchell might be the better prospect long term.
I think a lot of people, too, from at least what I'm seeing on Twitter and some of these things that I've been reading over the weekend, they're kind of viewing this as not at a get-out-of-jail-free card for the Jazz, but more of a real good excuse to shake things up. Because, look, I think it's pretty clear that the pair between Mitchell and the Mitchell and Gobert pairing has a pretty clear ceiling, and that ceiling is not NBA Finals champion. And I kind of want to – look, you know I'm a big Donovan Mitchell fan. I've been I back him up. I think he's going to be a really good player, even despite some of the inefficiencies and the things that people have problems with. But I don't know that some sort of – I keep reading things about, like, okay, he could now be James Harden in Houston with, like, that space. Imagine what he can do. Imagine if he had space like Russell Westbrook does right now in Houston. Like, put him in that sort of offense without Gobert clogging up the lane – and how good he could be. But I will say this, I don't think that the Jazz's concerns are necessarily caused by Rudy Gobert not being able to stretch the floor or being played off the floor in certain ways in the playoffs. Because I think if Donovan Mitchell were just better, if he were to take a Jason Tatum style leap and become what the Jazz hope he becomes in a top 15, top 10 player, then I don't think that those concerns are as big of an issue. And I think that's an obvious statement, but I think that this team, there is a version of this team that can go further than what it had gone, and I don't think the reason it hasn't gone further is Rudy Gobert. I think the reason is actually Donovan Mitchell just not being better.
And look, if you're making comparisons to, you know, he could beat James Harden, well, that's not really saying much. It's not like James Harden's accomplished a whole hell of a lot other than some individual accolades. As a team, they have not enjoyed much success. So patterning or hoping that his best case scenario is maybe a smaller version of James Harden that doesn't get to the line as much, not going to get you to the NBA Finals, not going to bring a title to Utah. So if that's the hope that Jazz fans are pinning themselves on, I would think that it's probably time for them to kind of change course a little bit. As far as the problems that, you know, the offense has, you're probably right. Like, Mitchell could probably tweak his game a little bit, but there are limitations given his size, the fact that maybe he just isn't – he's not going to be able to get that shot over a lot of players because of, you know, a lot of defenders because of his overall size. He's not like Tatum. He doesn't have that kind of athletic ability to just – I mean, he is athletic, obviously, but it's a different, much more compact athlete. And so I think when you're looking at the style of play there, he's going to need more space. I mean, you know, what can you do about it? Like, you're married to that player at this point. He needs to evolve, maybe become a little bit more like the Dwayne Wade version, because I think that's always been a good comparison. It's always made a lot of sense. But we've also seen Oladipo kind of be similarly sized to Dwayne Wade, Mitchell similarly sized to Dwayne Wade. Both of them compare very favorably to what Dwayne was like early in his career. I think that's the kind of evolution that you should be looking for from Mitchell, and he needs to kind of expand or, at the very least, get to the line a lot more. If he's going to be playing the mid-range game, then he has to be able to draw fouls at a much more consistent basis.
No question. And again, if you're the Jazz, he's the one that makes, like, you build around wing players, not big men these days. He's marketable. That matters. You know,
what about the argument that Mitchell has kind of used the friction with Gobert that's what I thought you were referring to when you said the get out of jail free card. A lot of people, and maybe this is just paranoid Jazz fans or insecure Jazz fans, they think that Mitchell is using this as an excuse to force his way out of Utah and into a bigger market. Being from New York originally, maybe that's his overall goal.
That could absolutely be the case. I mean, if you're Donovan Mitchell, I think you, no matter what, you want to be in a position where you're holding the cards, right?
Yeah.
If the Jazz front office says, hey, we're not trading Gobert, it could absolutely lead to Donovan Mitchell saying, well, then get me the hell out of here, which I guess would be the Jazz's reason to move on something sooner rather than later. If they're going to break one up, if they prefer to have Donovan Mitchell over Rudy Gobert, then it makes a lot more sense to try to trade Gobert earlier, so that you're not losing Mitchell or possibly both of them. I mean, if you wait so long, do you run the risk of trading Gobert, but that at that point, Mitchell already has decided he wants to be somewhere else, say New York or elsewhere? Look, that's very possible. If you're the Jazz, I think there's a lot of things you could do. Every team would probably be willing to trade for Donovan Mitchell, right? I think regardless of his faults, he's a really good young player with a tremendous amount of upside. But I did put together some Rudy Gobert trades, because if they do make a move, it does look more likely than not that they would have to move Gobert. I don't know how much you can really get for a big man like Gobert these days, but I tried to come up with a few trades. So the first one, Boston gets Rudy Gobert. In exchange, the Jazz get Marcus Smart, Daniel Tice, Romeo Langford, their backup center, Vincent Poirier, and Memphis's 2020 first-round pick, which is currently at number 17. So the Jazz are basically getting Marcus Smart, Daniel Tice, Romeo Langford, and the 17th pick in this draft for Rudy Gobert.
It's a good trade as far as I think both teams would be getting somewhat close to equal value. I think Celtics fans would probably not want to trade away Smart, and he would have to be. I think he would be a big part of any kind of move like that. And I think they would probably argue somewhat unrealistically that Tice isn't that much of a downgrade over Gobert, which is a little ridiculous. At least offensively, I could see that Tice probably is maybe just a step slower or a step below Gobert. But defensively, that would be a huge impact. And then having a guy like Gobert who could match up with, you know, a Joel Embiid in the Eastern Conference or a Marc Gasol in the Eastern Conference, that would probably help their title chances immediately. So, you know, it's an interesting trade. I like the deal for both teams, although I just don't think that Boston would be as willing to do it.
I think I love the Marcus Smart and Donovan Mitchell pairing in the backcourt. I think that would be tremendous, because now you've got Marcus Smart as your defensive one. Takes a lot of pressure off of Donovan Mitchell. Now, between Mitchell and Smart, there's not a whole lot of spacing going on in that backcourt, which could be problematic, but Daniel Tice is a nice little... He can shoot the three a little bit. I think that he probably opens up the floor a little bit more, and then Romeo Langford is a nice young player, and whatever, the 17th pick is okay. It's not a great pick, but... my next trade, Washington gets Rudy Gobert in exchange for the first pick. Washington's first round pick goes to Utah, which is currently at number 9 in the lottery. Thomas Bryan, Ish Smith, and then some salary filler. So Utah getting the number 9 pick, or possibly better, maybe a little bit worse, Thomas Bryan and Ish Smith for Rudy Gobert.
Well, that's clearly a home run for Washington. They got a superstar player that they can market right away, somebody to package as their quote-unquote big three with John Wall once he returns to health, and Bradley Beal is still under contract, even though it seems like half the league is already pushing him out of Washington. As far as
And they keep Davis Bertans in that trade, too, which is
That's
huge.
A good one. That is important for Washington. But as far as Utah is concerned, in a weak draft, or what is widely regarded as a weak draft, I'm not sure that there's a big man who's going to fit in right away. Thomas Bryant stretches the floor a little bit, but you're losing so much on defense. As far as the difference between Gobert and Bryant, I'm not sure it's a great trade for Utah. That's a tougher one to handle, I think, from the Utah perspective. I like the move, but I like it especially for Washington, but I definitely don't see it for Utah.
You don't, like, I guess if you're Washington, you'd throw in another pick probably, which is a lot. Again, I don't know what a guy like Gobert has, like what his value is on an open trade market. Like,
what is Mitchell's trade market? Because I did this for Locked On Heat. I tried coming up with some scenarios as far as Miami acquiring Donovan Mitchell, and somebody commented that I was way off base, that there's no way of saying that. I proposed Tyler Hero and 2 first-round picks, maybe even just 1 first-round pick and some filler, and they kind of laughed that off. I don't know what you would trade for Donovan Mitchell at this point.
I mean, if you look at Donovan Mitchell as a guy who has superstar potential, it would probably take a contributor, like a meaningful contributor, a young prospect, and at least 1 first-round pick. So you're probably one, I don't know what, for the Heat, I don't know what player that would be, but you're probably one meaningful player away from making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Utah, you probably don't value the first round picks as much, just because if you're going to build around Donovan Mitchell, you want to start moving in that direction sooner rather than later and not be waiting on a bunch of guys to develop. So,
yeah.
Charlotte gets Rudy Gobert. The Jazz get Cody Zeller, one of Malik Monk or Miles Bridges. They get the pick. And their 2020 first-round pick currently at number 8 in the lottery.
Now, I like that if, for no other reason that Gobert would come back and play alongside his fellow French countryman, Nick Batum. So I kind of like that.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that to me, that would be exciting. Maybe they can pull off a trade for Evan Fournier as well. That would be exciting.
the French Bobcats.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Why not? Make it more interesting. If you could throw in like another pick, maybe I could see that one working out better. Like, I don't think Zeller's a bad player. I don't think anywhere. He's nowhere near as good as Gobert, but I think he's fine. And I think the pick is probably going to be a little bit better. I could see it. I could see that one being pulled off. I mean, I don't know. Who's
it's just not that fun.
Yeah, it isn't.
It's not that fun. Because, I mean, look, Rudy Gobert is really not that fun of a player anyway. Sorry, Jazz fans. He's just not fun.
He's a top five player, Wes. He's a top five player.
Throw him in Charlotte. Who cares? Okay, those were the warm-ups, David. Those were just my those were opening acts. I got two really good trades coming up that I love.
Let me hear it.
And I want your opinion. Do you want the San Antonio one or the Brooklyn one first?
Let's go Brooklyn.
Brooklyn gets Rudy Gobert for Caris LeVert and Jared Allen.
I think it works for both teams. That actually makes a lot of sense. Now, the thing is, you can't bench Gobert for DeAndre Jordan. So how does that work out with the new general manager?
I think Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have a heart-to-heart with DeAndre Jordan to say, I think, big man, you need to be okay coming off the bench, and you're going to make $9 million a year being our backup center.
And we still get to hang out and go to clubs and do whatever it is that we're going to do in Brooklyn anyway. So,
that's right.
I think you have that conversation, and if you could pull off the trade, then yes, absolutely go for it. And as far as Utah is concerned, I think that's a nice return because Allen is a little younger. He fits the kind of timeline with Mitchell a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You get a good wing player in LeVert who's a good defender and scorer, another guy you can kind of build around to help provide some more depth there. Home run on all accounts. Good job.
That's your backcourt of the future. I think Mitchell is your one. He just becomes your point guard, and Caris LeVert becomes your two, and you've got your backcourt of the future right there. If Caris LeVert can stay healthy, for Brooklyn, I think all of the problems that a Rudy Gobert brings to the table as far as spacing. If you've got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant out there on offense, I don't care what your spacing issues are. You've got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant out there on offense, you're going to be just fine. And Gobert is a top five defense by himself, a top 10 defense, I should say.
I mean, imagine Kyrie Irving breaking down a defender with his plethora of moves, and on the off chance that he does wind up passing the ball at the last second, tossing lobs up to 7'8" Rudy Gobert. I mean, that sounds like an awesome combination to me.
The Spurs had one of their worst – it was their worst defensive season ever under Greg Popovich. They need to fix a lot of things, and I think they can reboot the team by trading for Rudy Gobert. And I really like this idea, trading LaMarcus Aldridge, Derek White, and a lottery-protected 2021 pick. So not this year's pick, which is already in the lottery, but next year's first-round pick for LaMarcus Aldridge and Derek White. And if you're the Spurs – you get Rudy Gobert to completely revamp your defense around. You rebuild the team around Gobert, at least defensively. And for the Jazz, LaMarcus Aldridge is on an expiring deal. So you retain his bird rights for a couple years from now. But he provides a little bit more spacing at center. He's basically played center for the last couple years in San Antonio. He provides a little bit more spacing there versus Gobert. And then you get a great young guard in Derek White who, again, projects really well against next Donovan Mitchell because of his ability to defend the ball and create for himself too.
That's a tougher one for me. I look from San Antonio's perspective, I could see it. It gives Greg Popovich the kind of international player that he's loved so much in the past. Another guy who he can kind of build around. I could see the talk centering around a lot of great French wines, etc. But at the same time, from the Utah's perspective, man, that defense would fall off the cliff. I mean, substituting Gobert with a 32-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge, that just doesn't seem like it would make a lot of sense. Derek White, as good a player as he is, he's young, good defensive presence, etc. man, I just don't know that's enough. Like, if you could sweeten that deal for Utah just a little bit, I could see maybe you kind of maybe selling it to Utah fans that, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is an all-star, a great player, shooter,
like
et cetera.
If you can execute a sign-and-trade for Jakob Poeltl or something like that.
Ooh.
To kind of fill in the center spot, lock it down.
That's
a little
not
bit
bad.
More.
That's not bad. Okay. I could see that.
Okay. Now it's getting complicated. Coming up, why the Bulls are on their way to turning things around. This is Locked On NBA. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you're watching the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I could think of delivery too. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, so we're going to debut a new game here, David. Later on, we're going to play One's Gotta Go. But first, as the league assesses ways to restart the season, one idea that's been discussed is a 25-day program to help recondition players to resume play. According to ESPN, that program would include 11 days of individual workouts followed by a 2-week training camp. David, do you think that 25 days is enough, or is that too much time, given that we've already lost so much of the season?
I think it's just right, given the fact that you do bring up some valid concerns there around, you know, too much time being lost already. But I think it's important to kind of ease players into this, knowing that they're probably doing something to help them work out and stay fit and everything else, that they do enough training on their own during off seasons that they're aware of what it takes to do that, even though I think for the most part they are taking advantage of this time off, as well they should. But you don't want to risk any kind of injury, and so taking a fair amount of time, probably not as much as they need, but probably more than a lot of people would like, is just enough to kind of get them to the kind of shape that they could possibly play at a very high level without risking too much injury. Like, injuries are going to happen regardless. They were going to happen even with players who hadn't taken time off or you know, were actively playing for the last month and a half. Either way, you're going to have that risk involved. With 25 days, I think it's just enough where you can kind of hope that they'll be able to, you know, reach the kind of fitness level that they expect to. You know, you can have teams kind of supervising what's taking place, monitoring them during a much more intense training camp. You know, teams would probably push them as much as they possibly could during those 2 weeks to get them to reach the approximate level where they would have been at had the season just continued as normal, and then just kind of ease in their way back in. We'll probably see much more, you know, restricted minutes kind of thing. Like, I don't think anybody's going to go in there and play 40 minutes after, you know, 3 months off or anything like that. But I think 25 days, honestly, I think it feels pretty fair to me.
I mean, you nailed it. The most important thing here is conditioning and just not getting injured, right? I mean, could you imagine if they restart this whole thing and LeBron James suffers a quad or a hamstring strain that leaves him out for a whole playoff series? Like, that would be the worst possible scenario. I'm just a believer that if you're going to do something, do it right. And if you're going to bring back the NBA season, just do it right and give these guys, you know, the month that they need or so to get back into shape, because a lot of these guys don't have the, you know, Mike Conley Memorial High School in their homes, you know? And so I think it'll take a long time for a lot of these guys. I mean, talking to some of the players during this downtime, I asked one player what he was doing, and he was like, it kind of reminds me of what I had to do in high school when I just didn't have anything, you know, and you're just doing jumping jacks in your bedroom and push-ups, and you're just like finding heavy things to lift around the house. And that's just sort of like, that's not okay if you're going to go out and play, you know, a real basketball game where presumably if we do restart it, it will be high stakes basketball games, right? It'll be, you know, the playoffs or something close to it. So you want these guys to be in best shape as possible. The Chicago Bulls have fired general manager Gar Forman on Monday after 10 years in that role and 22 years with the team. As new executive vice president of basketball operations, I'm going to try to get this right, David, Arturas Karnasovas. Arturas Karnasovas. continues to revamp the front office. John Paxson will also remain on, but in an advisor role. What do you think of the moves being made in Chicago right now?
So far, so good. That's how I'd evaluate it. But I think one more really major move has to take place, and that's letting go of Jim Boylan. I think that's probably the next step from everything we're hearing. Karnisovas is probably going to bring in somebody else, and somebody with a new, fresh voice, somebody who can kind of get it to players right away. Look, we've seen coaches with little NBA head coaching experience kind of go in there and be able to do things differently, better than Boylan did. I don't think you necessarily need a guy who's been in the trenches for years and years and years anymore. Like, you can get guys, I think, that have kind of come up through the G League and have them understand the mentality of working with players. I think that's a big thing. Boylan never really seemed to have that kind of connection with players. So I think once they can Boylan, which seems pretty obvious that it'll happen sometime soon, it'll be a perfect start to a good offseason. And I think it's a long time coming. I think a lot of Bulls fans would agree that this is something that probably should have taken place 5-6 years ago.
I mean, look, Foreman won Executive of the Year in 2011, and the only reason he did that is because he took Derrick Rose at number one a couple years before that, which was a no-brainer, and Derrick Rose got really good.
And so nobody liked LeBron James in the decision. Yeah.
And nobody, right. And yeah, that was the year that Pat Riley didn't win Executive of the Year?
That's right. Yeah.
That's insane. All right, so Gar Foreman gets a fake Executive of the Year award, just like Derrick Rose has his fake MVP award. Okay.
Woo!
Now that we've established that. So, look, I do appreciate what the Bulls did. Speaking of Miami Heat, they sought out to build a front office very much, you know, that mirrors sort of the way that the Heat have structured their front office. And so you get Karnisovas, who is ostensibly, I guess, Pat Riley in this situation. And look, I think that what he's done in Denver, I mean, his track record is a good one, right? Everything from, like, you know, being involved in drafting Nikola Jokic and what they've got and building that team over there, turning that team into not only a contender, but like a forward-looking contender, right?
Yeah.
That's important. And I think the Bulls have been everything other than forward-looking for a very long time. But now he needs to go ahead and hire his general manager. It's probably going to be somebody, again, if they're mimicking what the Heat are doing, probably somebody that's more cap-driven, right? He's going to be looking for his Andy Ellisberg, so to speak, where that's somebody who can do the cap gymnastics and just be an expert on all things CBA. And so that's probably, if you're going to be sifting through these resumes, if you're a Bulls fan, those would be probably the guys I'd be looking at as a possible hire. And then, of course, it trickles down from there, because I think what a smart front office would do is you hire everything up top, and then you go ahead and go find the coach that aligns with what it is that you want to do. So, look, I think everything is the two guys that had to go real quick were Foreman and Paxson, and they're gone now. Paxson is an advisor. You know what an advisor does? He talks when spoken to. So he'll be around as much as they want. And so, you know, they got rid of the two guys that needed to go, and I think you can only improve from there, I would suppose.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fair. And you're right. I think you talk to Heat players long enough, and one of the things that they all talk about, no matter if they've been there a year or several years, is the kind of stability of that front office and everything else. And I think that's been clearly lacking. I mean, even though Paxson has been there for a long time and Foreman's been there for a long time, this coaching turnover has been such an issue. You've never made the right moves. Now you have stability up top, and then kind of trickles down, like you said, and you find a guy, a coach, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a guy, who's going to be there, who has the kind of progressive vision to kind of help implement what you're talking about in the front office onto the court and just kind of build around them. You stick with them, because that's the key right now. Is you can't just be prone to making rash decisions, because if that's the case, then you're no better than the front office that you just exiled.
Before we move on to our debuting of our One's Gotta Go game, we just want to say how sorry we are for Karl Anthony Towns and his family. He lost his mother, Jacqueline Towns, to the coronavirus on Monday, and it's just incredibly sad. And it serves as an unfortunate reminder that this thing is killing thousands of people, but that these people are more than a statistic. And when you can put a face or a name to it, it just hits home that much harder. So we owe it to everyone to abide by the rules, to approach things with an abundance of caution, because I think these days it's better to be safe than sorry. And while we don't know how Jacqueline Towns fell ill, it doesn't take much to contract this virus in the first place. It can be very deadly.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, especially in the NBA and basketball Twitter community, you know, people are listening to the show. Maybe they might be luckily a little removed from the topic, but this kind of, like you said, puts a face to it, understands that even the basketball community itself isn't impervious to this. And I think it's a tragic reminder of how deadly this virus is. And another reminder to just continue to do what you can to remind those around you to stay safe, stay indoors, do what we can to remove the threat as much as possible and to continue to stay healthy.
Coming up, we play One's Gotta Go. This is Locked On NBA. Remember to listen to and subscribe to Locked On NBA on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. One of the internet's games that's become a popular pastime is One's Gotta Go. So we're going to play our own version here, David. And so I put together a few for you. I know that you did that for me. I'm going to go first. So One's Gotta Go, the band Fish, beer, or basketball?
One's Gotta Go. Fish, beer, or basketball? Well, it's got to be beer. I've got to do it. I love beer, man. You know that. And I'm especially during this pandemic when there hasn't been anything else to do. That's a tough one. You really kind of put me on the spot here. But yes,
I wanted to start with a hard one. And I know how much you love fish.
Oh, I mean, I can't. They've been a part of my life for so long. I just don't know what it, they've been part of my life longer than beer has. I'll be honest with you. That's saying something. So I have to keep them around. I know. I mean, are you saying like I couldn't listen to them at all? It's not even like going to any shows. They're just like they wouldn't exist for me at all.
Wipe them off the planet.
Yep. Oh God, that would be tragic. No, I can't do it. Beer goes.
You're allowed to eliminate basketball. You could just get rid of basketball.
Well, I can. That's my living, Wes. I can't give up that either. And I happen to love basketball. So
you could do Locked On Fish.
I'd love to. I don't think that's a realistic option. But to be honest with you, I would have to give up beer.
All right, moving on to our next one. One's got to go. David Locke, Anthony Irwin, or John Corrales?
Well, you can't get rid of David Locke. He did start the network. He does cut the checks.
He did make up screen assists as a triple-double statistic, though. How much does that count against him?
Not as much as some people might think. But, given Irwin or Corrales, sorry, John, you got to go. Red's Army's out the door. Join Paul Pierce on the unemployment line.
I think that's a no-brainer. I thought that was the easiest one I gave you.
Yeah, pretty clear.
John Corrales, get the hell out of here. all right. One's got to go, and it's one of the Avengers.
You're not giving me any options, so just any Avenger has to go?
Any Avenger.
From the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
If that's the one that we're talking about.
Okay, well, I mean, because you can go, well, if you're going comic book geek on me, you're talking about dozens and dozens of Avengers throughout, the past several
decades. The movies.
Decades.
I just stick it to whatever the movie is. Yeah.
As far as the movie version is.
The one with Robert Downey Jr.
Hawkeye, the guy with the bow and arrow. Like, I mean, his whole character took a dark turn at the end there. I know a lot of people kind of love him, but I think that's pretty clearly a no-brainer there. Like, you can't get rid of the others. The big three of Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor, clearly they have to stay. Spider-Man's kind of a pseudo-Avenger. Doctor Strange, whatever. I guess he's an Avenger of sorts, too. Black Widow is at least much more deadly, in my opinion, than Hawkeye is. And, of course, the Hulk is the Hulk, so you need him around for nothing else, just to throw Loki around. Sorry, Hawkeye, you got to go.
I'm not an expert, but I can watch like these movies, and I think you and I have talked about this before. I don't know on what podcast we have, and I definitely forgot an Avengers movie somewhere because I watched the last one and nothing made sense. And it started they were in outer space and like Iron Man was almost dead or something. And I was like, I don't know how we got here. So I definitely missed something. But then again, it doesn't take much to catch up. I was like, okay, Iron Man got into a fight and now he's in space and almost dead. Okay, so
that's about right. Yeah.
For him. All right. Nailed that. I will say this. I don't know anything. I'm glad that you said Hawkeye was the guy with the bow and arrow because that helped me. He seems lame compared to all the other guys, like all the other superheroes who have like actual powers, and he just shoots a bow and arrow. Like that seems lame.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, look, in the comic books, like the guy has a lot more personality than the version in the movies. Like the one in the movies is kind of just like kind of wisecracking, sort of, but not really. And he doesn't
what's
really do
face?
Much.
What's yeah. it's what's
Jeremy
Jeremy Renner? Not yeah. great casting.
And also the fact that Jeremy Renner is probably like 5'3", it's kind of harder to take him seriously as an action hero. Like, yeah. like, I don't know. Like, when he needs a booster seat to go into the Avengers Quinjet, like, I don't know that he actually makes a lot of sense as a superhero.
That was One's Gotta Go. Let us know if you liked it. We're going to keep doing that maybe every week. We'll come up with more. We'll come up with less. I don't know. But it's fun to do. But that's our show for today. This has been Locked On NBA. Thanks for listening, and please stay safe.